Okay, I'm going to try to finish up here in Acts chapter 13 as Paul closes out this sermon here in Antioch. I'm taking the title from verse 48, and I want to spend most of my time here on verse 48, ordained to eternal life, and it comes from verse 48. And when these Gentiles were at one time without God, without hope, without Christ in this world, just like you, just like me by nature, Gentile, without God, without Christ. When they heard this, when they heard that the Lord Jesus Christ is held forth as the light of salvation, they were made glad. They were made glad. That is, they rejoiced in the message. And not only were they rejoicing, they were glad, but they glorified. They glorified the word of the Lord. Remember, the word of the Lord is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the word personified, the word that was made flesh. They were glad and they glorified. Not the flesh, the word of the Lord. And, you mean there's more? And as many as, I love that statement, as many as were ordained, that is appointed to salvation, to eternal life, they believed. Who's going to believe this message? Who will believe this message? Those who are ordained to eternal life. Now what a glorious, blessed truth the Lord gives unto His people. Our salvation is not left up to us. Our salvation is all by the sovereign will of God. It's all by the almighty power of God. It's all by the effectual grace of God. Thy people shall be willing in the day of His power. I trust you heard the radio broadcast this morning. This is the grace of God that brings us to the Lord Jesus Christ. This same word here in verse 48, ordained, you see that word ordained? This same word ordained is translated in other places appointed and determined. That is, this sounds a clear note that our salvation is of the Lord. That is, it's appointed unto us to believe. And it's determined for us to believe, not left to fate, chance, or luck, by grace, by the grace of God. Grace for grace. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by the Lord Jesus Christ. Of His fullness have all we received, grace for grace. From eternal election of grace till final glory, all salvation is God's doing, His will and His purpose. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth. He works all things after the counsel of His own will. God will have mercy. Yes, He will. We read that in Romans 9, Romans 8. But He will have mercy upon whom He will. That is, we preach sovereign mercy. Sovereign grace. The Lord will be gracious, but He is sovereign in His grace. When a guilty sinner hears this good news, as it did with these folks, it'll make him glad. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that the Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Some folks got glad, as it says there, they were glad, but the other folks got mad. The Jews stirred up this whole city. Men and women, chief men, raised persecution. Some got glad and some got mad. Who makes you to differ? It's God that makes the difference. We're going to see this response all the way through our study in the book of Acts when Paul and others go preaching. Persecution. Two things usually happen. Riot and revival. Riots and revival. Sometimes they happen at the same time, simultaneously. Now we come back to visit this last part of this chapter. Paul and Barnabas had clearly preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to these Jews in this synagogue. Read verse 38 and verse 39 of Acts 13. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. That's a clear message. In Christ is the forgiveness of sin, and by him all that believe are justified, cleared of all guilt from all things, which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. In this crowd that day in the synagogue were some Gentiles and were some Jews, some religious Gentiles and some religious Jews. And among this crowd, both Jew and Gentile, were some of God's elect who were chosen to salvation, who must hear the gospel of the grace of God, and they were blessed to believe it. Remember our Lord said, my sheep, they hear my voice, I know them, and they do follow me. Now, in verse 42 and verse 43, when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath day or between the two Sabbath days. And when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue to abide constant in the grace of God or in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of these who heard Paul and Barnabas preach the gospel, how God saves sinners, wanted to hear more about the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation from all sin and the justification from sin by the grace of God and the forgiveness of all sin through the redeeming blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember the scripture in Ephesians chapter 1, in whom we have received, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. What was Paul's continued message, the last part of verse 43? He persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Continue in that grace. Take your Bible and turn to Acts chapter 20. When Paul left the elders at Ephesus, he said basically the same thing. Salvation starts with grace, continues with grace, and it will consummate in grace. Acts 20, verse 32, and now, brethren, I commend you to God, to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you inheritance among all them that are sanctified. It's the grace of God that we're to continue in. It's the grace of God that saves us. Turn back to Acts chapter 15, verse 11. Acts 15, verse 11. But we believe what? What do we believe? We believe through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. What did Paul and Barnabas tell those folks to do? And what did they continue to preach unto them? To continue in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what's going to happen? We go from Saturday to Saturday. Through that week, Paul and Barnabas continually was preaching and preaching salvation through the grace of God. And on that next Saturday, the next Sabbath day, verse 44, the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they got jealous. They said, we're going to lose our crowd. We're going to lose our church membership. Our synagogue membership is going to dwindle. They said, we can't have that. And they spake against those things which were spoken by Paul and spoken by Barnabas, contradicting what they said. They said salvation is not by the grace of God. They said salvation is by the works of the law. And then they started blaspheming. Now, you know what blaspheming is, don't you? It's speaking evil. They were speaking evil about Paul and about Barnabas. They were trying to discredit them personally, and certainly they were trying to discredit their ministry, and Paul and Barnabas received persecution over what? The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The whole city came to hear the word of the Lord. Now, wouldn't that be a marvelous thing in our day? In the cities that have so much unrest right now, wouldn't it be something if they all came to hear the word of the Lord? God's able. He's able to bring that about if it was pleasing for him to do so. What a marvelous sight to see the city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. And I trust that's why we've come here today, to hear a word from God and to worship him, the true and living God. And this is eternal life. To worship the true and living God. This is eternal life. Remember what Cornelius said to Peter? Remember in Acts chapter 10, we're all here to hear all things commanded thee of God, commanded thee of God. The only place a sinner will truly worship is at the throne of the absolute sovereign God. That's the only place. What you believe about the gospel is determined by who you believe. Did you get that? What you believe about the gospel is determined by who you believe. If you believe the true and living God, you believe his gospel. You believe his message. When these unbelieving Jews saw the interest in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, they were jealous and immediately tried to discredit Paul and Barnabas, speaking evil about salvation that's of the Lord. Human nature has not changed since Adam's ruin, since Adam's fall. The carnal mind is still enmity against God, not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, because they're foolishness to him. It takes the power of God to show us that in the gospel is the wisdom and glory and power of God to forgive sinners in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember our Lord said, out of the heart. You remember those Pharisees complained, your disciples are eating food without washing their hands. I mean, our Lord said it. It's not what goes in the mouth is the problem. What comes out of the heart. That's the problem. That's the problem. Remember what our Lord said? Out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, which bring forth evil deeds. And it's nothing but rebellion against God Almighty. Now, Paul and Barnabas, their ministry's been discredited. They spoke evil things about them and about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What will Paul and Barnabas do? Will they compromise their message so as to not to offend? Should they change their message so we can all just get along? Verse 46, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold. They waxed bold. That is, we're not backing up. We're not moving. We're not budging. And said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, you Jews. The gospel was to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. But seeing that you put it from you. Now, you're the problem. The problem is not with the gospel. The problem's in man's fallen, sinful nature. You will not have it. Remember, Pilate brought forth the Lord Jesus Christ and presented him to that mob that day. And Pilate said, behold your king. Remember what they said? We don't have any king but Caesar. Away with him. Crucify him. We have no king but Caesar. What did Paul and Barnabas do? They waxed bold and continued to preach the word of the Lord. They didn't compromise. They didn't back down. They were emboldened to preach grace, 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 and more grace. We believe through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. God saved us according to his own purpose and grace given us in Christ before the foundation of the world. It was necessary that the gospel be preached to the Jews, because our Lord said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, Jew and Gentile. It was necessary. But among all humanity, the Lord has a people. He has an elect out of every tribe, kindred, nation in heaven, called his sheep, called his jewels, called his elect, called his chosen, who will hear the message and who will bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. The faith of God's elect loves the truth of the gospel. The self-righteous Jews willfully rejected the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came into his own. We read it a moment ago. He came into his own. In his own, they did not receive him. They said, away with him. We have no king. We don't want you as king. And then, verse 46, the apostle says, you judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life. They were going about to justify themselves and rejected the very means that God ordained for their salvation. The Jews would not have the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, so they turned to the Gentiles. Verse 47, for so hath we turned to the Gentiles. The last part of verse 46, for so hath the Lord commanded us. The Lord commanded us to preach Christ, to hold him forth as the light of salvation, for Jew or Gentile, that thou shouldest be for salvation to the ends of the earth. There is salvation in no other. You remember Peter and John before that council? Remember the man was crippled, was healed, and they said, by what means and whose name did you do this? Peter said, here it is. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Christ is the light of salvation. He says it. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. These Jews were so proud of their religious tradition, they deliberately chose destruction of their soul rather than bow to the absolute lordship of Jesus Christ. They wouldn't have it. Paul didn't quit preaching. They went preaching because they were commanded to set forth the Lord Jesus Christ. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And he is the only Savior in all the world. That's why he said, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none other. I'm the only just God and Savior. Down to verse 48. And the Gentiles, when they heard this, what did they hear? They heard that Christ was salvation. They heard that salvation was by the grace of God. They heard that there was forgiveness of sin through the redeeming blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When they heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, they were made glad. And they glorified the word of the Lord. Paul and Barnabas kept on preaching Christ, not as a way of salvation, but as the way of salvation. Our Lord said this, I am the way, the truth, the life, right? No man come to the Father but by and through me alone. When they heard this. Now, who made these people hear to differ? Why did some hear and were made glad? And why did some hear the same message and got right mad? Who made you to differ from another? What do you have that you did not receive? It's the grace of God that made us to differ. The only reason you love and believe the gospel is because God crossed your path with the gospel and has done a work of grace in your heart and caused you to love the Lord Jesus Christ as everything in salvation alone. When the Gentiles heard the good news that the Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners, they were given faith as the gift of God to believe the gospel. And they worshiped the Lord Jesus Christ. As it says there, they glorified the word of the Lord. That's worship. They glorified, they worshiped the Lord Jesus Christ as God. That's what they did. They said, He's my God and He's my Savior. They worshiped Him as God. And now I want you to get a hold of this statement here. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Preacher, what does that mean? That means exactly what it says. Those who believe the gospel do so because God determined and appointed that to happen. It's all of God. It's all of His grace. As many as were ordained to eternal life. Let me read this to you again. Don't turn. Let me just read it to you. He came into His own. His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them He gave power. And the word there is right or privilege to become sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And they do so because they were born of God. Not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man. They believe the gospel because they've been born of God. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, he's born of God. He's been begotten of God. We only believe the gospel according to the working of His mighty power. Now let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. I'll show you that. And the power that it takes to believe the gospel is the same power it takes to raise a dead man from the grave. Ephesians chapter 1, he says, verse 17, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, comma, according to the working of His mighty power, comma, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in the world to come, and that which is to come. So we only believe the gospel because God raised us from the dead. You have to be quickened who were dead. And the fruit of that is when you hear the gospel, you believe it as it is in truth, the word of God that effectually worketh in you that believe. Now, let's look at a couple places here. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Well, how do you know anything about God's eternal election? Well, He chose a people unto salvation. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost, in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. And here's this joy in the Holy Spirit. Now turn over to 2 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. We are bound to give thanks. 2 Thessalonians 2, 13. We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Now, when did God start loving His people? He's loved them with an everlasting love, hadn't He? There never has been a time when God didn't love His people in Christ. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God chose you to salvation. God chose you unto salvation. Now, who did the choosing? Our Lord said, you didn't choose me, I've chosen you. He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. And because he has chosen you to salvation, what happens to you in time, in this life? What has happened to you right now? Through the sanctification of the Spirit. Preacher, what is that? You hath he quickened who were dead. That's regeneration. That's God making us a new creature in Christ. Remember our Lord said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot believe the kingdom of God. Through sanctification of the Spirit. And what is the fruit of that? Read on. And what's the next part? Believing the truth. You believe the truth because you've been made a new creature in Christ. You believe the truth. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see that? As many as were ordained to eternal life, believed God. Believed God. Believed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord says this. Turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 37. John chapter 6, verse 37. All that the Father giveth me, that's that eternal election. John 6, 37. All that the Father giveth me, where did he get these people? God from eternity elected a people and gave them to the surety of the covenant, the Lord Jesus Christ. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will never cast him out. Now, stay right there in the book of John. Let me show you this scripture. Turn to John 10. John chapter 10. I mentioned this in the radio program this morning. John chapter 10, verse 22. It was at Jerusalem, the feast of dedication, and it was winter. And the Lord Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about and said unto him, how long do you make us to doubt? If you be the Christ, tell us plainly. And he said, I told you. I already told you. And you believe not. You believe not the works that I do in my Father's name. They bear witness of me. Now watch this carefully. Verse 26. You believe not because you're not my sheep. You're not my people. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they'll never perish. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed. When they heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. Now this word ordained in Acts 13:48, I'll repeat what I said already. It translated in other scriptures, appointed and determined. This sounds a clear note that your salvation and mine is of the Lord. It originates with him. God, who has begun a good work in you, will perform it. From election of grace to final glorification, salvation is all according to his will and his purpose. Now, preacher, why are you harping on that? This is the very gospel of the grace of God that this religious world hates and despises and does not believe. And yet is the very center and core of the gospel. It's according to his will, his purpose, his grace. Here's this scripture, Ephesians chapter 1, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted Christ. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, don't turn back to it, but it says in verse 9, for God hath not appointed you to wrath. God has appointed you to obtain salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ. You see what this message is? As many as were ordained appointed and determined. Whose appointment is it? God's appointment. Whose determination is it? God's determination. Whose predestination is it? We're predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. Don't be afraid of that word, predestination. It's a Bible word. It's a glorious truth. God predetermined, God predestinated, whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. Romans 8, 29 and 30. Well, verse 31 says, what shall we say to these things? I know what this religious world says. The same things these rebellious Jews said. That's not fair. That's not right. What shall we say to these things? Well, if God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Now look back at Acts 13, verse 48 again. And I'm going to wear this out. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad, and they glorified the word of the Lord. How? How did they glorify? By faith. By faith. By faith. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Now let's move on. Verse 49. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all that region. But the Jews stirred up devout and honorable men and women, chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul, against Barnabas, and they expelled them. I believe they drove them out of town. We're going to see in the next chapter, when Paul was in Lystra, that the same rebellious Jews followed him, picked up stones and stoned him. Some think he died, and they drug him out of the city as a dead man. When you preach the gospel of the grace of God, God's people get glad and rebels get mad at God. So what did they do? Verse 51, they did exactly what the Lord told them to do. They shook the dust off their feet as a witness against them. Our Lord said in Luke 9 when He sent those apostles preaching, He said, whosoever will not receive you, go out of that city and shake off the very dust from your feet as a testimony against them. Wow. The disciples, verse 52 in closing, the disciples were filled with joy. Gladness of heart glorified the word of the Lord. They were filled with joy. We read it a moment ago. You became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. Joy of the Holy Spirit. And the disciples were filled with joy. We joy in God. Remember Romans chapter 5? I believe that's where it says we joy in God. We joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That's it. That's it. May each of us believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and rejoice in Him always, and have no confidence in the flesh. It's all of God. It's all of grace. And it's all in the Lord Jesus Christ.